This is the future.
TalkZone.com, the best in internet talk radio. It's time at TalkZone for more world-changing leadership with Our Global Hope. Here again, your host, Dr. Henrik Mann.
If you're just joining us, I'm Dr. Henrik Mann, and we're back with our guest, Mr. John Moran, superintendent of schools at a large private K-12 Christian school in California. I want to remind our listeners that they can call in, and they can email, and they can find out more about our show at ourglobalhope.com. John and Charlie, as we were discussing leadership development in the previous segments, I couldn't help but think of some of the challenges that leaders go through personally in facing fear, in facing conflict, in facing difficulties along the way to overcoming adversity. And Charlie, I'm thinking that maybe you can help us position how academic settings can be great environments for leadership development with regards to some of these specifics.
Oh, I appreciate that. Even in elementary school, but especially in secondary school, there are opportunities every day for character to be built in an academic setting. Academic integrity and honesty. One of the real interesting things about leadership is that it develops fairly early in terms of those internal decisions that a young woman or a young man's going to make. Are they going to be honest? Are they not going to plagiarize material? Are they going to do a project going to complete it well? Are they going to participate in a group? So I would say choices that lead to integrity. And maybe, John, as you think about the educational process, especially, we'll say, for later elementary and secondary students, what are some of the daily choices that help build the character that really is the foundation of leadership?
Well, you know, there's a number of things that that we do in that regard. And one of the things that we have the privilege of doing at a private Christian school is we have weekly chapels. And in those chapels, we teach character and integrity and all of these good values and attributes that parents want their children to have. I'm a big fan of the Boy Scouts of America, and I was a Boy Scout. I have a son who's an Eagle Scout, and I get a little jealous because he made it to Eagle and I didn't, but that's okay. He's lifting up the family tradition name by his accomplishments. But, you know, one of their mottos is helping boys become men. I would like to extrapolate that a little bit to our school and say we help boys and girls become wonderful men and women. And even at the early stages, you know, just little lessons of right and wrong and how to treat each other. And we take seriously when someone does something to hurt another person or to cheat on a test and all that. And we instill those lessons very young and help them through it. But, you know, you have to balance your justice with your mercy and take it case by case. But, and also a big part of this in education, and I need to mention is, and throughout pre-K through 12, is partnering with the parents. You know, we make it clear that we do not supplant the role of the parents. We don't usurp their authority. And we make it clear to them that they are the primary influencers in their children's lives. But we do have a critical role of partnering with them. So when an issue comes up, a problem comes up, we get together and we work it out as a team. And it's this teamwork which is critical to leadership that we need to model for these young people. And I think that that's tremendously helpful.
John, as you think through your business background, I'm sure you appreciate that there's a real rough and tumble to being successful in a capitalistic context, that people don't always play fair, and that there are destructive achievers as well as true leaders, and that many times the destructive achievers get rewarded in the business world, and that many times the wonderful lessons that are learned in a Christian environment where there is social support for integrity, that when you get out into the general work world, that those supports aren't necessarily there, and that the world plays by different rules. How do you prepare young people to be successful in a world where integrity isn't always honored and where there are challenges to people's belief systems and to their identity if they don't get with it and follow the leader's call and the leader when the leader may be unethical?
Well, you know, I teach young people, do what's right because it's right and for no other reason. I taught my sons that. I teach my students that. I teach my employees that. You know, when I was in the business world, which you mentioned, you know, I was in education for 8 years and then I went into, I took an 8-year hiatus or sabbatical into the business world and then I've been back for about 4 or 5 years in the education world. But those, you know, I saw a lot of unethical things happen in the business world, and I had a lot of pressure to cut corners. That's, you know, we don't call it dishonesty in the business world. We say cut corners, be efficient, things like that. But there's right and wrong, and you come across it every day, and you have to make a decision. And, you know, when I was pressed to it, and people said, well, why don't you just do that thing that everyone else is doing? I said, if I can't make an honest living in this business, I'll find another business. And in the beginning, you know, people said to me, oh, you'll never make it. You're an educator. You're not tough enough. You don't have the, you know, you're too nice. You can't make it in the business world. I said, well, we'll see. And, you know, I developed some credos that served me very well. One was, I'm aggressive with goals, never with clients. And, you know, and people said, well, you know, you need to control your clients. I said, no, I serve my clients. And I use that customer service kind of servant leader attitude, and it catapulted me up the chain very quickly because, let me tell you, you know, you hear, oh, you got to be cutthroat, you got to be tough and whatever to succeed in business. People are, not all people are stupid, okay? Most people know when they're being had or patronized. They want honesty. They want decency. They want follow-up. One time I had a president of my company bring me in and say, you know what? You're doing too much customer service. Get out there and do more sales. I said, my job is to serve my customer, and I can have a lot more upsales in these large organizations, which I did. And I said, are my revenues going up? Well, yes. Well, that is sales. So, you know, serving people and doing the right thing, being honest, is huge. Another thing is that I learned in the business world that I have brought to the educational world and I want to model for young people is communication. You know, I have found that personally or professionally, there's almost nothing that can't be overcome, no problem that can't be resolved if you sit down face-to-face with people and honestly address a problem or situation. That holds true in business. It holds true in education. It holds true in every aspect of life. What happens is many people, especially in an email world, right, Dr. Charlie, where people can just send out an email and hide behind it, and nothing gets resolved, actually most often exacerbated. But face-to-face, handshake, look in the eye, and work things out, and honestly want to come up with a win-win will bode well both in business and in education in any endeavor in life.
Charlie, your thoughts?
Henrik, our global hope is committed to a triple win. This is something that you are passionate about.
Yes.
And that's a win for not only both parties in a transaction, in a ministry, in a business, but also for our planet and for our world, and for our world and for our community. And this is what John's getting at, is that when you empower others, when you communicate, you know, one of the good news aspects of the 21st century is there's almost no back room anymore. Secrets are hard to keep. And actually, people of integrity are going to do so much better in the 21st century because of the information that everybody has available at their fingertips. And so, one of the great ancient proverbs is open covenants openly arrived at. And this is something that is transformative. I had a friend who had a $1 billion banking deal in a nation, and he was with a large banking house, and he lost that deal because he refused to give a bribe to some particular officials, which was normally just considered the way of doing business. And if he was excoriated, he was ridiculed in the press, this big house lost this big deal. But a few months later, his boss came to town and said, where's my honest banker? And the man ended up being promoted and getting far more return, not only personally, but for the company, by virtue of his honesty. So I think that's just a really clear message that's ringing through in some of John's insights here.
Well, yeah, thank you for that. You know, transparency and accountability to those you serve is critical to gaining their trust, support, and respect.
Well, John, I'm wondering, just before we wrap up this third segment and go into our commercial break, I'm wondering if you can share what you think some of your teachers and your staff might say about you, and please let our listeners know how many staff you serve at in your role.
Well, I have 120 employees throughout the system. And you're asking what they think about me? Don't you think you should ask them?
Well, I don't have them here, so I'm thinking you might know.
Well, you know, I hope, I'll just say I hope what they and I hope what parents in the system would say is that I'm a man who will address issues directly and honestly and openly, that I'm transparent, and that I have a real passion to bring excellence into every aspect of our enterprise, and that I listen to people, that I listen more than I speak, and I take everyone seriously, and I try to build consensus and include people in the process of educating our young people. I hope they say those things.
Well, I appreciate you sharing about this and also being transparent and candid enough to be able to go on record on the radio that this is how your staff would describe you.
Okay, you put words in my mouth, but okay, you're the host. You can say what you want.
Well, and Henrik, I can verify that that is how people have described him. I can also verify that John has taken his lumps, because at some point leaders have to make decisions, and decisions aren't always popular. And John's had to make hard budgetary decisions and personnel decisions. He's had to face people who didn't always agree or understand, no matter how carefully arrived at a consensus was. So, you know, one thing we may want to get to both in this show and in future shows is, no matter how wonderful a leader may be, there are going to be challenges that there are times you just have to lead.
I agree. And as we go into our third break, I want to again remind our listeners that you can learn more about our show at www.ourglobalhope.com. This is Dr. Henrik Mann. We'll be right back with Mr. John Moran for more world-changing leadership talk.